friend we have in Jesus. 345. Sing out now. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer.
On the service. Father, we love you tonight, and I'm glad that we have a friend in Jesus Christ. The Bible said that no greater love hath man than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. And I'm thankful, Lord, that over 2,000 years ago, Jesus gave his life, that we might be his friends and that we might be able to be his family, God, his bride, and so much is included in that salvation experience, and we're so grateful for it. And God, I pray in Jesus' name that you'll have your way in the service tonight. God, you know, we've got a small crowd, a lot of folks out. Some, Lord, we understand about sickness or that sort of thing, maybe not in town. But then others, Lord, I don't know where they are. But I wish they'd be here. Lord, I wish they'd be more faithful to the house of God. I'm glad you put it in my heart to love the house of God. So, Father, I pray that you'll bless those that are here, Lord, those that are faithful to be here. Thank God for them. Lord, I pray that you'll speak to our heart through the message tonight, through the special music, and Lord, everything that's done for the glory of God, we'll thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, you can be seated. And again, thank you for being here. And like I said, we had several folks out. Rick Richardson's back's bothered him real bad, so he had to stay home tonight. And so we, Miss Ramona couldn't get out in the rain, and I understand that. Miss Ramona's very fragile to be getting around anyway. And I told you about Martha. I thought the Shaws were back in town, but I guess they're not. I didn't call them today. They're what? They're online, so I guess they're still out of town. All right. So anyway, hope to have them back by the Lord's Day and all the rest of our folks back as well. But thank you for being in the service tonight. Okay? All right. I don't have any announcements really to give you. I do. Brian's going to mention the visitation. I do have, by the way, I do have the new Chick Tracks, Brother Joaquin had them mailed to us here, so we have them. I'm going to have Brenda take them home. They have one of the stamps, so her and Shelton and the boys can stamp them for us and for Saturday. And then I'm going to order some more of the trifolds, and so we'll have those. And then Joaquin, I talked to him. He flew yesterday into Texas. He is back in Texas, back in the 48 states. He's with his son, who has his first grandson, and so he wanted to visit with them a little while, so several days. I don't know if he'll be back before Sunday or not. I doubt it. Probably be sometime next week when he comes back in. And so remember that. Yes, sir. Okay, so he'll be gone for a while, a couple of weeks. So just remember him in prayer, if you would, and with his family down in Texas. And then, as I understand it, perhaps at the end of the month, Sabine will take her turn flying out to Hawaii to visit with Alexis and Ivan and Nico. And he is doing better. Still have that feeding tube, and that's going to be a while because of the hole in his esophagus. That's the way they've got to feed him. But he is growing. He's getting stronger. And so by the end of the month or first part of June, they intend to do surgery to fix the hole. And then once that heals, he'll be just like a normal little youngin' and probably start eating like a horse all the time. And so anyway, we're glad that everything is going well there. So look forward to seeing Joaquin when he gets back. He's been gone a long time. And so we'll sure look forward to seeing him. Okay? All right, Ryan, come on ahead.
Quickly, you've heard it all before, but one more time, just in case you might forget, tomorrow night, 6:30, is the Ladies Jubilee Planning Meeting. So all you ladies be here tomorrow at 6:30 for that. Then Saturday is the visitation at 10 o'clock here at the church, Sewing Saturday for the men. And for the homeschoolers, is 10 o'clock at the bowling alley in Irmo for the homeschool field day outing. I think we got one in the room right now. And anybody that go over there at 10 o'clock, if you're not a homeschool kid, it's $14 if you want to participate. But if you're an older gentleman, be here at 10 o'clock for a visitation. That'd be good. You get the gospel out to our community. All right.
All right, number 246. Once again, we'll stand and sing, "I'm Pressing on the Upward Way, Higher Ground," 246. I'm pressing on the upward way to heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lift me up and let me stand. My faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears to pray. Though some may dwell where these are found, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. My faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright. But still I'll pray till heaven I've found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. So lift me up and let me stand. My faith on heaven's faithful land, a higher plane than I am found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. All right, let's take just a few minutes and enjoy a little fellowship. All right. Thank you so much. If you'll find your seat, we'll have the ushers come on ahead. And there's a gray car parked in the corner up here with the lights on. I don't know if that's anybody here. Somebody's sitting in it. John Tyndall. Okay. He must still be in the car then, I'm going to assume. Oh, is he on guard? Oh, okay. That might be, sure enough. Okay. Thank you, Brother Ed. Thank you. It's got to go find out who it is. All right. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask His blessing on the offering this evening. This is our Wednesday night offering. If you'd like to give something towards missions or whatever you want to, that'd be great, and we appreciate that. Okay, Ryan, how about pray for the offering, please? Amen.
Before Pastor comes tonight, Brother John's coming to give us some special. Feet. Well, get your Bibles. Listen now as the pastor comes.
Thank you, Brother John. And again, thank you all for being here tonight. Turn your Bibles to the book of Lamentations, if you would. The book of Lamentations. That's in the Old Testament.
Page 836, if you have a Scofield Bible, you'll find Psalms and Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. Keep on going. And when you get to Isaiah, you're a little before it. Ezekiel's a little after it. And the book of Lamentations. The book of Lamentations is written by the prophet Jeremiah. It's an unusual book because it is actually God sort of voicing his sadness, his own sadness, at having to punish his people. And so a lamentation is a sorrowful cry. That's what a lamentation is. And of course, Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet. And so God chose him to write the book of Lamentations. And I want to look at chapter 3 of Lamentations, and I'm going to preach the message, and we're going to spend some time at the altar before we go home tonight. But let's stand to our feet, please, and honor the Word of God, Lamentations chapter 3. I'm going to start reading in verse number 1, the book of Lamentations, chapter 3 and verse number 1. The Bible said, I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, not into light. Surely against me is he turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin hath he made old, hath broken my bones. He hath builded against me and compassed me with gall and travail. He hath set me in dark places as they that be dead of old. Already this sounds pretty depressing. Sounds to me like Jeremiah is having a bad day. And he seems to be remembering, of course, Jeremiah did go through an awful lot of persecution. He was put into prison on more than one occasion for being a prophet, threatened on several occasions with death. In fact, he even reminded the people of Israel how they had killed the prophets. That made him angry, and so he almost became one of them. And so now it seems like, you know, when you read this, you think, boy, he's really letting somebody have it about how bad he's got it. But just hold on. Listen to what it said. Verse number 7. He hath hedged me about. Uh-oh, there's a change in gear. Amen. How many of you have ever had hard days? How many of you have had more than one? Sure. How many of you had hard times and hard days, and somewhere in all of that, God showed up? See, that's the difference. If I ask the world about that, oh, they've had hard days. They might even talk about some good things that happened in their life. I heard somebody talking the other day about how they had a really good day, but then they had one bad thing happen, and so instead of talking about all the good things, they had to talk about a lot about the bad thing. And they, you know, the idea was, and this was, I'm sure, an unsaved person who was basically saying, why don't we spend more time talking about all the 23 good hours instead of the one bad hour? But you know what? Human beings are not really wired that way, are they? Unless they know Jesus Christ, because we still have the same fleshly happenstance, circumstance, whatever you want to call it. We have the same fleshly response most of the time. But then, somewhere, like they sing in that song, somewhere in the shadows, we'll find Jesus. Amen? The Bible said, He hath hedged me about, that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. Now He's kind of gone back down that road again. He said, also, when I cry and shout, He shutteth out my prayer. He hath enclosed my ways with hewn stone, hath made my paths crooked. He was unto me as a bear lying in wait, and as a lion in secret places. He hath turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. He hath made me desolate. He hath bent his bow and set as a mark for the arrow. He hath caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my reins. I was a derision to all my people and their song all the day. He hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. He hath also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes. Thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forget prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind. Here's changing gears again. He said, you know, after all of that, something keeps coming back to my mind. He said, therefore have I hope. Here we go. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. He sitteth alone and keepeth silence because he hath borne it upon him. He putteth his mouth in the dust. If so be, there may be hope. He giveth his cheek to him that smiteth him. He is filled full with reproach. For the Lord will not cast off forever. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, that the Bible tells us in the midst. Lord, this chapter is full of Jeremiah. This book is full of Jeremiah's lamentation. It's full of God's lamentation towards his people. And yet, Lord, in the midst of all of that, we find that great is thy faithfulness. We find in the midst of all that trouble, your compassions fail not. In the midst of all of that, we find out that your mercies endure forever. God, I'm grateful that when I face times in my sinful human life, for I wonder if God's anywhere around, I can always find in the midst of all of that, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Lord, when I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death, I don't have to fear evil, for thou art with me. So Lord, tonight as we look at just a few verses and a very simple thought tonight on the unseen mercies of God, I'm thankful, Lord, that many of the mercies of God that have been bestowed upon me in my lifetime, I've been able to see with my eye and hear with my ear and experience with the senses that you birthed me with. Then, Lord, I know there are many unseen mercies, things that I've not seen, things that God has not kept from me because he didn't want me to know, but he just wanted to do it in a way where I would not maybe see it coming and then would enjoy it even more, like a surprise birthday party or a surprise of some kind. I'm glad, God, that you love us so much, even though we're wicked and sinful people. You love us so much that every once in a while you send us a little surprise, a little something out of the mercy box of heaven. God, I'm grateful for that tonight. So I pray that you'll bless the message to our hearts and bless our prayer time at the end of the service. I know there are some here with heavy hearts, and Lord, we want to bring that to the altar tonight, the presence of our merciful God. We love you. Thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever said to yourself when something happened, man, I didn't see that in coming. I sure didn't see that coming. Brother Rodney, how you doing, Brother Rodney? Brother Rodney's here. We haven't seen Brother Rodney in a while, but he's had some stuff he had to do up in different parts of the country. So glad to see you, Brother Rodney. God bless your heart. When it comes to the mercies and the faithfulness of God, like the old song says, amazing grace, how sweet the sound. I used to sing a song years ago, there's no other word for grace but amazing. And that's true, isn't it? When you're going through times of difficulty and trial, as we all do, because we know that man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. And in the midst of, and you'll notice, and it's, I don't think it's coincidental, that as God, through Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, is really decrying the situation with his people, because really, what father wants to spend all of his time punishing his children? No dad that's worth his salt, no mother worth her salt is going to look forward to punishing her children or their children. Sadly, in our world, some of these people who are so wicked until they abuse and mistreat their children, you know, to this day, I don't understand. They show a picture of that child, and some are infants. And I just cannot understand the depravity of a man or a woman who would mistreat and injure and hurt on purpose little babies. But you know, God is the great God and he is our heavenly Father. Like any father, I never looked forward to punishing my children. I didn't look forward to that. When they come home from school, I would have a good attitude. I'd want to hear something good, that they got an A on a test, or at least they didn't lose their bears. You say, well, that's just a little thing, but to them, that's a big thing. And it's even bigger when a parent, a mother or a dad begins to compliment those children because they're doing right. And by the way, has God ever failed to compliment any of us and bless us when we're doing right? He's never failed to do that. He's never too busy that He will not say, well done. We all like to hear that. But He also knows that because of sin, we are human, and more times than not, we find ourselves on the wrong side of the judgment. Here the people of Israel, His own people, once again find themselves in the middle of the judgment of God because of their spiritual idolatry and spiritual adultery. But even though God is having to punish them with the captivity, He still wants them to know that He's not enjoying it. Why, listen, it doesn't, it never does. And, it never brought joy to my heart to have to watch my children be punished or listen to them cry. It was necessary. My thought to them, and I voiced this to them, don't do this again. And then we don't have to come back here. And that's the way God does with us, doesn't He? God finds us where we are out in sin, and first of all, He forgives us, thank God. He may have to punish us, but always with that voice of concern that says, don't do that again. The Holy Spirit says, don't do that again. I don't want to have to come back here again. And you know, most of the time when you deal with your children, the punishment for the same thing later is a little worse, perhaps a little more severe than the previous. And God knows that. God says, listen, don't go there. Don't say that thing. Don't do that thing. And especially after I've already had to punish you for it. And yet, in all of that, I told you this, and I tried to do this with my own children after the judgment was over, after the punishment concluded. Then I would hug them, and I wouldn't tell them it was all right, because what they did wasn't all right. What I would tell them is it's over with. That dad's not going to bring it up again unless they bring it up again. Now, if they repeat the same problem, then I'll have to repeat the same solution. But I always said it's over now, and you don't ever have to worry about me bringing it up again. And to my knowledge, as God is my witness, to my knowledge, unless we're cutting up about something, just kidding around, I have never at any point brought up any of my children's past transgression. But you know, that doesn't mean I forgot them. It just means I don't bring them up. But the great thing is, our God has forgotten them. Isn't that wonderful? And so in spite of the weeping, and in spite of the heartbreak, and the heartache that God felt, and that Jeremiah felt for Israel, yet right smack in the middle, He said, but wait a minute, there's something I want you to know. Great is His faithfulness. The mercy of God, He said, is of the Lord's mercies. And by the way, that is a plural word. It's not one mercy. It's not just that He saved us. It's not just that He forgave us. It's so much more. And so many people in this world who are not saved do not understand the mercies of God. All of us should either be in hell already, or at least since we've been saved, we've not done so well. And all of us ought to be put on the shelf as far as maybe some people would be concerned. And yet the mercies of God that are new every day give us that second chance, that third chance, that hundredth chance, that thousandth chance. Amen? And so listen, some of you just think about what God's forgiven you of and some of the things that God's forgiven you of over and over and over again. So there have been times, I'm talking about right in the middle of me just not being a very good Christian, and it happens to all of us, that God slips in a little mercy. God slips in a little faithfulness. And you think to yourself, man, you come to the humble conclusion. Man, I didn't deserve that. I didn't see that coming. That's why God is so great, because He likes to slip things in on us that we don't see coming. Those unseen mercies of God. Now I want to give you just a couple of thoughts tonight before we pray. Just to give something to chew on this week about the unseen mercies of God. The word mercies has the actual definition is loving kindness. So you can intertwine those words. The Bible talks about the loving kindness of God. It's the same thing. It's the mercy. It's not just love, and it's not just kindness. It's loving kindness. It's the kindness that has the love of God attached to it, as opposed to us telling somebody, I love you, but maybe not being very kind. Because the Bible tells us, God has to remind us as Christians to be kindly affectioned one to another. Sometimes we can love our brethren, but we're not too kind to them. Amen? Because something was said, or something was done, or something was misconstrued. And suddenly, we don't stop loving that person, but suddenly we're not being very kind. God's never that way. God loves us, and attached to His love is the kindness of God. Thank God. I don't deserve His love. I sure don't deserve His kindness. Every day, somewhere in that day, He will show me His loving kindness. The mercies of the Lord are new every morning. Hallelujah. Notice, if you would, first of all, the fact of God's unseen mercies. Jeremiah said, I've enjoyed them. You read out the scripture, you won't find a book in the Bible where somebody talk about enjoying the mercy of God. You walk on, come on across any believer who's truly born again, who's truly been washed in the blood, and you won't talk with them long before they start talking about how good God's been to them. The song says, ain't God, we're out in the garage today, several out. I cannot believe we accumulated that much junk in our garage in 4.5 years. I'm telling you, we worked right up almost till church time, Judy and I. It about killed me. But we got it done, thank God. And so it's now it's all nice and clean, so we can put more junk in the spaces we cleaned out. Amen. I'm telling you, we found some things that we sort of looked at, some pictures and some mementos from the ministries of our past. And man, all of a sudden we got to thinking about how good God was. You know, we won't spend time talking about all the bad stuff. Forget all that bad stuff. You know, I don't have any picture albums or anything commemorating the bad stuff. I don't want to look at that. I don't want to see that. I don't want to remember that. So we find books with baby pictures in it, or we find books with pictures of former members in other ministries where we were. And I'm telling you, thank God, there was trouble in every ministry I've ever been in. But thank God, there was more good stuff that came out of it. There's people gotten saved. People got right with God. People called to preach. I mean, thank God, there's more good than there ever was bad. Even though in all of Lamentations, seem like the whole book is God's Jeremiah just sort of whining and complaining, but not really, because he's writing what God said. God's not a whiner and God's not a complainer, but God can be brokenhearted. God's spirit can be grieved. We find him now, and what's the best way to overcome that? By just being good to somebody. Somebody says, you ever have a bad day, just be kind to somebody and it'll change your day. Hallelujah. Somebody talk nasty to you, the Bible said that we're to love our enemies and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. When they say something bad, the Bible said a soft answer turneth away wrath. When they start being ugly to you, say something nice to them. Wonder how many times, not me personally, of course, in my past, but not as a Christian, you think about even unsaved people out here who will curse God and use God's name in vain, and God let them live. I'm telling you, if they said about your earthly parents, I hear them say about my heavenly Father, somebody'd be in a fight. But God said, I don't want you to fight them. Hey, they hate me. They're going to hate you because they hate me. But thank God, He said, but my mercies are new every morning, and great is my faithfulness. You don't have to stand up for God. He can stand up for Himself. Notice the fact of God's unseen mercies, their factual origination. Where do the mercies of God come from? Not luck, not fate, not coincidence, not karma. Oh no! The mercies of God are factual because they are of God. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy. Thank God what I get from heaven doesn't come from the stars. It doesn't come from a horoscope. It doesn't come from a deck of cards. It doesn't come from a career. It doesn't come from a bank account somewhere. I'm telling you, thank God, the mercies of God come to me from heaven, and I know they're of God, and I know it's a fact. Somebody said, preacher, you don't really believe that with all my heart. They're factual because they're of God. They're factual because they are from God. and they're factual because they are just as real as God. Oh, now listen, you want to stumble the world, start talking about a real God. Start talking about it's real, it's real. I know it's real. Thank God. I never knew what real was till I gave my heart to Christ. Never knew what real was till I felt the real blessings of God. Till I experienced the real mercy of God. Till I experienced the real faithfulness of God. Y'all with me tonight? It's Wednesday night. I know you're tired, but man, you ought to help me right here. I wish I had that organ player over there, Brother Steve. Get us stirred up. I'm telling you, but God, who is rich in mercy. I'm saying tonight the fact of God's unseen mercies. Then I want you to notice, not only are they factual in their origination, but they're factual in their operation. The Bible said in our text there in verse 22, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Every one of us ought to be in hell right now. We ought to suffer the same fate that Korah suffered when God opened up the earth, had swallowed up that generation, and the Bible said they went down into the pit. Korah and that bunch went straight to hell. That's where we belong. I'm glad for the mercies of God, aren't you? I'm glad for the mercy of God that throws out the lifeline. Throw out the lifeline. Someone is drifting away. You don't have to be a wicked sinner to drift away. You can drift away from a church pew. You can drift away. You can go to hell with a King James Bible in your hand. Amen. But it's not about what you've read, and it's not about what you've learned. It's all about who you know. And as the sign says out front, thank God, it's all about Him. They're factual in their operation, mentally, morally, and even monetarily. The blessings of God, the unseen mercies of God are felt. Has God ever showed up when you needed a buck? Or as my wife says, a piece of money? Yeah, you know He's done that. Now, it may not be an envelope in the mailbox that's with a return address heaven on it. Huh? But you know where it came from. You know what you said when you opened it up? I wasn't expecting this today. I didn't know this was going to happen today. And that's God slipping in some unseen mercies. Hallelujah. Boy, you just have a good day with the Lord. You get up from your Bible time and you feel like you've been with the Lord. And there been maybe all week long, it seems like all you did was just read because that's what you knew to do it. And nothing happened. All of a sudden, the one morning you get up to read and you're not thinking much about it. And that's when God slips in on the page. And that's when God shows you something from His Word. And you think to yourself, man, I wasn't expecting that this morning. And that's God shining His mercy on you. That's unseen mercy. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, you'd be riding down the road or getting ready to ride down the road and all of a sudden the car won't start. You get mad and kick the tires and get mad and stomp the steering wheel. And buddy, all of a sudden it cranks up. You get going and find out if you'd have left 5 minutes sooner, you might have been in an awful traffic accident. You know what that was? Listen, most of the time we never give that two thoughts. But I'm telling you, the eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout all the earth, and He's slipping in unseen mercy. In case you're not understanding, I'm enjoying myself tonight. It's Wednesday night. We don't have a church full, but I'm still enjoying myself. Thank God. Because it's not about who's in the chair. It's who's on the throne that makes the difference. Now, I'm telling you, that's the fact of God's unseen mercies. Let me go quickly. Number two, there's the fullness of God's unseen mercies. Does God ever give you half a glass full? Oh no. I hate going to a restaurant, drive through, and they say, I want Diet Coke, and they hand it out to you about half full because they filled it full of foam, didn't pay it no mind. You say, preacher, what do? I just wait a minute. And when it goes down, I hand it back in, say, can you fill that up for me? Now I know they probably think I drank half of it, but I didn't. I don't do that. But I've drove around and come back around and said, excuse me, but I just passed through here and I got a Coca-Cola and you didn't give me but half and I paid for a whole one. Could you refill this, please? Do you know what? Brother Steve, there's never been a time when I asked something from God when he only gave you a half a cup full. There's never, now listen, I'm telling you something. If God gives you a half a cup full, it's as good as a whole cup full, I'm sure. But God doesn't operate that way. And God never expects me to come back around and say, could you fill it up the rest of the way? But what he does expect for me to come around the next day, could you put some more in here? I drank it all yesterday. It sure was good. Amen? I'm talking about the fullness of God's mercy. Boy, I'm telling you, I'm glad God, listen, and notice, remember I said that the word mercies is plural. That means there's always more than one. Oh, listen, I want more than one, and God's willing to give me more than one. They're plural, they're plenteous. What's the Bible say? They're new every morning, not just Sunday morning. Some folks think that God can only be merciful on Sunday morning, so that's the only time they come to church. I'm glad God can be merciful Monday through Saturday. Amen. Because they're plenteous, they're plural. Hey, and His mercies are pleasant. Hallelujah. Hey, I've never got a blessing from God when I said, gee, God, I don't know that I like that too good. You know, Lord, I'm thinking of something different. Hey, when God sends it, it's so amazing and so great until all you can do is say thank you. And sometimes that doesn't even seem like enough. Has anybody ever done anything for you? You just tell them, you know, thank you is just not enough. But you know, I sent a card to Brother Johnson up in New York. Folks, I'm telling you, that little church got about 20 people in it. Why, listen, I told Brother Richard, he handed me a check. I said, Brother Richard, I don't want that. I don't want that. I said, I don't need that. God's been good. He gave me a place to stay for free. They took us to a place called Junior's Best Cheesecake in the World. And I'm telling you. And I had a Reuben sandwich. I'm telling you, it was about that tall. I'm telling you, bless God, it had hot pastrami and corned beef and turkey on it. I'm telling you, I was about to fall in that thing and just drown myself in that sandwich. I said, Brother Richard, I said, I don't want that. I just thank you for the opportunity. And he looked at me and began to weep. And he said, but preacher, if you don't take this, our people will think that you didn't want their blessing. And I said, well, brother, I'll take it, man. And I'm telling you, that was God. And I hope God will bless that place. That's why we want to take care of God's men. I've had them tell me, preacher, Brother Rick, I don't want that. You don't have to give that to me. But Brother Steve will tell you that most of the time, most of the love offerings we give, 95% of it you gave. And so I tell them, I say, but brother, listen, if you don't take it, then what you're doing is telling our folks that you don't want their blessing. They gave it to you because they wanted to be a blessing to you. I've never had a blessing of God that wasn't at least pleasant. And probably more so spectacular. Amen. Gigantic. Humongous. Dimongous. Amen. Because the Bible said that God will do exceedingly abundantly all that we could ask of all that we could ask or think. God's not dealing in little and small and petite and just enough. Or a glass half full. Hallelujah. I'm glad. The fact of God's unseen mercies. I'm glad for the fullness of God's unseen mercies. I got to hurry. I'm glad for the fortress of God's unseen mercies. You know, when we need those mercies, a lot of times we need to be hidden from somebody. Devil and the wickedness of this world. And I'm glad the Bible said that He is my fortress. He's my shield. He's my buckler. He's my pavilion. He's my cleft of the rock. I'm glad for the fortress of God's unseen mercies. Sometimes the mercy is just putting a hedge around me. You know, Job knew something about that. God told, or Satan reminded God that there was a hedge around. He saw it. Job never saw that hedge. But he sure enjoyed that hedge, didn't he? Because nobody laid a finger on Job till God gave Satan permission. And what'd he do? He lifted the hedge. Yeah. Mercies of God, they hide us. They help us. They hold us up. I'm telling you that. About halfway through today, I was out in the sun, and my blood pressure medicine says on the bottle, don't be in direct sunlight. Well, that's kind of hard not to do. But I can always tell when it's starting to get to me. I may not do this way to you, but it does me. After several hours out in the sun, my shoulders begin to draw forward like that. I know instantly I got to stop. I got to quit. I got to go get somewhere and get right. I'm telling you, it'll draw my neck forward. I walk around like I'm the Hunchback of Notre Dame. Judy said, "What's wrong?" I said, "I reckon it's the sunshine and my, you know, we were expecting rain all day today, so we were going to kind of work in the cool." That didn't happen. You know when it started raining? When we got done. So I'd have to go in the house and I'd sit down for a while. I'm telling you, then get in the cool and then Judy fixed a little lunch and ate a little something. After a while, I stretched out where I could stretch myself out, and after about 30 minutes, I was okay and things back to normal, going back to it. She didn't even know if I'd be able to come to church tonight. I said, "Oh, don't you worry about that. If I have to preach like Quasimodo, I will, praise God, I'll tell you." You know why? Because the mercies of God are new every morning. You might get a little humped over sometime, but He's still God. Hallelujah. Hey, Job said, "Though the skin worms devour this body, yet in my flesh will I see God." He knew God was in control. Well, let me hurry. Not only the fortress of God's unseen mercies, number four is the freshness of God's unseen mercy. Don't you like to buy a loaf of fresh bread from the grocery store? Then I hunt fresh bread. Yeah, I look for fog inside the plastic. Come on now. Some people sniff it. I don't squeeze it. I don't want to mash my bread. I'll pull them out, man. And I see one's got a little fog inside. You know what that means? It was put in there kind of warm. And I don't care what the date says. It could have been yesterday. If it's got a little fog in there. Now, I'm not talking about green fog. Say amen right there. By the way, it never is. If it's got that little fog inside the package, it's never old. In fact, it was delivered that morning. Hey! When God sends you something good, look for a little fog in the package. But that means it ain't old. It was delivered this morning. Hallelujah. Amen, preacher. That's good. I guess I'm the only one that looks for fog in the package. I'll guarantee you before the week's out, some of you will do it or die. So don't look at me like you're so high and mighty. I've never said, you know, God did something good for me today, but you know what? He's done that for me before, so it's no big deal. Even if He did do it for you before, it's still fresh this time. Man, I'm telling you, my wife makes roast beef about as good as anybody. He made some for Brian's birthday on Friday. We ate the last of it today. She don't make a little bit. We sent some home. I mean, we had a lot of people eat off of that. I ate the last of it today. You know what I told her? I said, "Just good day as it was last Friday." She said, "I know you get tired." I said, "No. I'd eat it every day of the week. Never get tired of it. Number one, because God provided it. Number two, my wife fixed it. And number three, it's good." That'd be one thing if it was nasty. But since God never sends us anything that's nasty, you know what I say? You know, somebody say, "Well, don't you wish God would be a little different to you today?" No! If it was good yesterday, it'll still be good today and tomorrow and 50 years from now. If He did the same for me every day of my life, I wouldn't want to be like those Israelites who after 40 years of manna began to complain. And the Bible said that's angel food. Can you imagine that? Oh, and they got it every morning. Fresh! Right out of God's oven. Began to complain. Let me give you the last thing and I'm done. In these unseen mercies, we find the fact of them, the fullness of them, the fortress of them, the freshness of them, and lastly, the faithfulness of God's unseen mercies. Because number one, they're not, or they are, certain. What David said in Psalm 23 in the last verse, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me." You know what he said? "I believe every day of my life, as certain as I'm David, that the mercy of God and goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life." But they're just not certain, but they're ceaseless. Because the Bible said that His mercies are new every morning. He didn't say every weekday morning, or every weekend morning, or just every 10th year morning. He said every morning. It means as long as you live, there is some mercy from God that He has extended to you. When you get up in the morning, He's got fresh mercy right out of heaven's oven. Amen. Pick up the Word of God, start reading it, and you'll see that the package is foggy. Amen. And you know, it's still warm and still good. Though they're certain, the faithfulness of God's mercies are certain. They're ceaseless. They're comforting. They're continual. All the days of my life. I'm glad that they're there in the morning, but you know, you may not need them till noon. Don't worry, they're there. You might not need them till dark. Don't worry, they're there. God doesn't put them out in the morning and take them in at noontime. Those mercies are there all the days of my life. And that's, and by the way, let me just end with this. That's why I dwell in the house of the Lord and want to forever. I want to be in God's house for no other reason than to get around the altar after a prayer meeting and say, God, thank you for your unseen mercy. Lord, thank you for your seen mercy. Thank you for the stuff that I recognize. You and I don't know what all God has done for us today because we can't see it with the naked eye. But when we get to heaven and all that record comes up, boy, you talk about a shouting time in heaven. When we start to not only we'll weep because we recognize how we failed Him, but then we'll shout when we see thou, in spite of our failure, look what He did. And I didn't even know He was doing it. All we can do is say, great, great is thy faithfulness. No wonder heaven, eternity so long. It'll take that long to tell Him thank you and to shout His praises. Boy, can you imagine? Can you imagine? And then bump into old Moses. And Moses say, let me tell you about His faithfulness. One day I said, God, I want to see you. And He said, you can't. Nobody's ever seen me and live. He said, but I'll tell you what I'll do. He said, I'll give you a little mercy this morning. He said, I'll put you in a rock, in the cleft of the rock, and I'll hold my hand over the door, and I'll pass by and let you see my backside. And His face glowed for 40 days and nights. Wait till we see Him face to face. We're going to have a brand new body to take it. Hallelujah. And by the way, that's one of them mercies we're going to get. I'm glad I don't have to go to heaven with this body. Lord, I sure love you tonight. Thank you, Lord, for letting me just take it off the range a little tonight. I know it's Wednesday night and the crowd's not very large, but boy, I've had myself a time. I've enjoyed worshiping God tonight. I've enjoyed worshiping God with these wonderful folks. Lord, I pray that we'll always be mindful. We may not be able to see them always.
We should always be mindful of the mercies of God, the faithfulness of God. Lord, if we wake up in the morning and can put our feet on the floor before we do anything else, we ought to say, great is thy faithfulness. Thy mercies are new this morning. You let me wake up and put my feet on the floor. And instead of complaining about what the day holds, we ought to say, thank God, whatever the day holds, I know who holds the day. Lord, I fail. I've been so not good in that area. I think about people and things, and I forget to thank God for His mercy. I thank Him every morning when I sit up in the bed. I always thank Him for another day. And I quote that verse that said, this is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. But then, Lord, my feet hit the floor and I get involved and all of a sudden I forget His mercies. Oh God, help me never to forget Thy mercies and Thy great faithfulness. And Father, I pray that we at Anchor will not forget Your faithfulness. We may not, Lord, we may look around and see a small number, but thank God for saved folks who are willing to come to the house of God. Lord, maybe I said something that just stirred a little something in their soul. They can go home tonight and say, well, I'm glad I went to church tonight. I sure got what I needed tonight. I'm sure glad I got some bread in a package with a little fog in it. Thank God for it. Now, Lord, I pray for the invitation moment and then, of course, the prayer time. Lord, I pray that You'll have Your way as we gather around the altar to pray. May it be that kind of prayer that remembers and is grateful for the unseen mercies of our God. We love You and thank You for all You do now. In Jesus' name. Now here's what we're going